Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, but it's not as simple as that. This week, we're talking about the world of self-help and life advice. And breathe in. And breathe out. My name is Sam Wolfson. I'll be here guiding you through proceedings and hopefully guiding you through the rest of your life. Today on the show, we're talking about the advice that we've been given, that we've tried to implement, and when it's turned out to be, breathe in, a massive clusterfuck, and breathe out. These are the things that you might see in a magazine, in a self-help book, that your parents might tell you. It could be a diet or a morning routine, some kind of meditation. And today we're going to talk about the very shittest examples of those bits of life advice. And breathe in. Okay, and just calmly exhale. So there's quite a lot at stake today, all to play for, as whichever self-help bit of advice we deem to be the worst, I, me, Sam Wolfson, Sensei, will then have to end up doing. Okay, so now let's meet the contestants and breathe in.
My name is Shirin, and the worst piece of advice that I've ever been given is to never complain and never explain.
Hi, my name is Zing, and the worst piece of self-help advice I've ever been given is to never go to bed on an argument.
Hi, my name is Emma, and the worst piece of self-help advice I've ever been given is to keep a mood diary.
Emma, you've said that the bit of bad advice you repeatedly get given is to keep a mood journal. What exactly is that?
It's essentially a journal, and it's basically just meant to capture whatever mood you're in at a particular moment where you're having a very extreme mood, so that you have some sort of like chart identifying highs and lows.
And what's happened in the past when you've tried to do that?
Normally I just go to write something, explode with rage, rip the book up and put it in the bin.
Right. So the diary part of it relies on you being calm.
Yeah.
And when you're not calm.
Yeah, the whole point is to like identify this really insane mood that you're in and try and figure out retrospectively why it's happened. But if you're in that moment, I find it really hard to identify what's wrong or like what I'm actually feeling.
Right, when you're in like Hulk mode,
I can't identify it, so I can't even like pick where I am on the spectrum.
I know that I've had like apps, you know, like say how you're feeling and then you will make a chart
And
yeah, like a period tracker, but yeah. for like
yeah, like a like yeah. a boy period tracker. Yeah, track your man periods. And I'm always like, oh yeah, that'll be so great because then I'll see like my happiness rising from 6 to 8 over them. But actually, like as soon as you get into it, it's really hard to do that.
I feel like it just makes me reconsider everything I thought I knew about the way I felt. Yeah. Like when I've ever tracked my feelings in an app or a period tracker or whatever, I always end up thinking, am I actually happy or am I not happy? What does that even feel like?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, what does happiness feel like? What
exactly.
Does,
yeah. And then once you try and quantify it, you're like, actually, maybe I am just depressed and miserable.
The actual process of writing it down makes you... Did you ever keep like diaries? And I mean, in general, do you find that kind of stuff is helpful?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to help you understand yourself and your own moods better. But I actually don't think it does, because all it does is make you put your own stuff into a narrative that's fabricated anyway.
I'm always astonished personally by how much I can change, like in a relatively short space of time, like how I can feel so differently about a person or a situation. So although I don't keep a diary, I've always thought that would be really interesting to like go back and have that perspective and look at this day 2 years ago. Everything was so different in my life, and like, I had such different friends and my work situation was so different. I think that can be kind of interesting to put things in context and see how far you've come. But I'm also like way too lazy to actually do that in real life. Social media is kind of good for that though. Like
yeah.
Facebook,
yeah.
I know I'm posting on Facebook anymore, so it's all becoming a bit irrelevant, but I do actually quite enjoy that. So I think social media is kind of taking over a little bit when it comes to like diarising stuff.
Yeah,
you can kind
definitely.
Of figure out where you've been at any day of your life from looking at your social media.
I agree, but I worry that in the same way that social media in the present presents like this, you see like idealised versions of your mates living their best lives, that in the past it does the same thing, in that you just look back on your photos and they're all your classic memories. And then so the thing that you get with social media that you don't get with a diary is like a mood diary. You do have to write down when you had a really boring day where you didn't get out of bed and you sort yeah. of started to the room started to smell like your sweat, and then you know, like, and I feel like that is what is being erased from all our lives. So maybe there's something in like writing down the bad days so you don't forget them, or maybe it's better to forget them.
You never put the good stuff in it, you'd be like, my life is the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like Twitter now, actually.
Yeah.
Do you all feel as journalists that it's like quite hard to write about yourself in like a not for consumption kind of way, because you're so used to like, here's the nut graph, like I don't know, like it's quite hard to get back into the headspace of like just documenting for the sake of documenting.
I think it's just quite hard to like get into the headspace of writing, but you're not going to get paid for it.
Yeah.
Just feels like work.
Yeah. I know, whenever I read one of those self-help books and they're like, write 2 pages about, and you're like, hang on a second, what's the word rate? Like. Okay, so everyone breathe in and breathe out. Okay, Zing, what about you? Do you go in for this kind of stuff? You're the Broadly editor in the world of women's magazines, so there's a lot of this stuff going around.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Like self-help has always been like a massive part of women's publishing, I think. I've never really personally gone in for it. I think the one piece of advice I was always told was never go to bed in an argument. But it's also advice I'm very bad at following because I'm a very sleepy person when I'm enraged.
How does that play out?
It basically means like if you're having an argument with your significant other, you should just hash it out like there and then, no matter how long it takes. Stay up until like 5 a.m. screaming at each other, but reach some kind of resolution or apology and then go to bed. And then you're allowed to like have a sleep.
Right.
In reality, that's basically just not what happens.
Do you know who came up with that bit of advice?
No.
A man. Because I think that's 100% how boys like to, they like to be like, look, it's resolved. Like, I just need to put this in the ticked. I need to put this into the tick box.
Yeah.
I'm up for that advice, but I feel like realistically what you learn is that it's never, to try and create a fake resolution is
terrible.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most arguments in relationships aren't even really about the thing you're arguing about. It's about something like way deeper or way bigger than just you didn't do the washing up and I hate you.
I kind of like do agree with that though, but just because I'm super morbid and like in my head, like whenever, like literally when you say that, I'm like, yeah, because like what if you die in your sleep? That's like literally how I view the world. Like death is everywhere.
Right.
So I just assume that the person who came up with that is just also extremely morbid like me and was saying like, yeah, because you don't want to, you know, go to bed after having a fight and then wake up and your partner's dead.
I mean, maybe if you're like 80 and there's a real chance of someone dying in their sleep.
I can't really sleep if I'm like really stressed out and upset about a fight that's happened. So that's not really any point in me even trying to go to bed anyway, because I'll just be so angry that I'll like wake up and start poking like the other person.
Sometimes I've gone to bed on arguments and woken up and felt absolutely fine and not angry at all, then gotten angry at the fact that I'm not angry anymore. Like, you tricked me out of this argument. Curse you, sleep.
There's a very unique feeling when you go to bed at a rage of like sort of 8 out of 10. You know, you wake up the next day, it's a new day, but sometimes you wake up and the rage is still at 8. You're like, your eyes open, and then there it is. That is a bad feeling. I can see why you'd want to avoid that. Where does this advice come from? Is it a parental thing?
I don't know where it comes from. I feel like you just get told, it's one of those like relationship advice tips you just get told all the time. Like, it just floats around the ether, and it's sometimes in women's magazines, sometimes from friends, sometimes from parents. It's one of those things that everyone just ends up soaking up.
Relationships are very susceptible to those kinds of things, aren't they? Because everyone's are so different and they're so far from a kind of normal one, that I think particularly when you're like first dating and having relationships, like almost everything you think is right comes from like weird bits of advice or the OC.
I think you learn from like every relationship more and more like how to behave. Like, I think in my last relationship I was super headstrong and I was like, no, I will not take this, and like, I will not accept these things, and like, this is not acceptable to me because I'm like a super, you know, pulled together woman. And now I'm like, actually, I think you have to really pick your battles, which is something that I never used to do. And that's kind of something that you learn through experience. Like, before, I would have a fight over every single thing that I perceived to be like the slightest affront to me. Whereas now my default is to not really care too much about shit anymore unless it's really bad. So I think you learn that.
Your battles, classic self-help advice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I also feel like women have sent this message like through the media, which is like, you should not tolerate like anything. Like, you shouldn't tolerate anyone disrespecting you. You'd rather be this like strong, empowered woman. And a lot of the time I think it can encourage you to like have this really like this mindset where you're like, oh no, this is not acceptable to me, so I'm gonna fight with you about this thing. Whereas actually it's not like a malicious thing that person is doing, it's just who they are.
So you're saying feminism's gone too far? Actually, we need to stop thinking about deal breakers and start thinking about compromise.
Yeah, but no, I would never say feminism's gone too far, but I think that me personally, I had in my head this vision of like how a strong woman in a relationship should behave and they should take no shit.
Right.
And actually, like, we are all covered in shit, all of us, the whole time. And if you never take any shit from someone, basically you're just going to be constantly in confrontation with them. And so I think you've got to assess like how big the turd is before you kick off.
Yeah. A lot of shit analogies in a single.
Yeah. Okay, so everyone breathe in and breathe out. Okay, so we've heard from Emma about mood diaries, and we've heard from Zing about not going to sleep on an argument. Sharon, what's the worst bit of advice that you've been given?
So a big bit of bad advice is never complain, never explain.
Which is from everyone, right? Like Johnny Depp said it to Kate Moss or something like that. Like, it's a real bit of like classic fashion.
Yeah, that's weird. And also Johnny Depp, I'm not going to listen to anything that man says.
Yeah.
Anyone who's had that much bad plastic surgery is not an advice person that I want to listen to. The never explain thing I'm actually really on board with. But the never complain thing I am fundamentally not on board with, because like, firstly, I complain about everything and I'm so good at it. Like, I'm so, honestly,
very good at it.
I don't want to appear immodest, but I am so good at complaining. And also, in like, I really like to think in a non-dickish way, but like I've gotten like refunds for colleagues from businesses that were ghosting them for like over a year. I read this Daily Mail article about the Middleton family, and apparently...
Classic. Where all good advice comes from, Carrie.
Yeah. And apparently the Middleton family have this motto, which is never apologise, never explain.
Right.
And I remember thinking, wow, that's great advice.
For being a princess?
Well, no, but this is how you get to be a princess. You don't explain shit. So
right.
Basically, I think the never explain thing is like... You kind of cultivate a sense of mystery about your motives and why you're behaving in a certain way.
Because you want to be a princess.
Because you want to be a princess. Yeah.
Right.
Who doesn't want to be a princess, if we're being honest?
Okay, interesting. What do you guys think about this? Because as I've mentioned on a previous episode of this podcast, I spend a lot of my life apologising for bumping into people. And I think for me, if I never apologised, people would just think I'm the worst.
Do you bump into people that much?
It has been discussed at some length, but yes, constantly. daily and every day that I bump into people so much. And I can't walk from any one place to another without saying sorry at least 5 times.
I feel like there can be an exception for bumping.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And also, I don't fully support this advice because I think that there are some situations in which you have to admit that you fucked up and apologise. But I think it's actually kind of good to be mindful about how much you're apologising in your day-to-day life. Like, are you apologising for your very existence? Like, you know people who start phone calls or emails with sorry, and it's like the first word in the email is sorry, and it's like, why are you apologising for emailing me? You're literally just doing your job.
Do you use that software that's available? It's a Google Chrome plugin that allows you to remove sorries and like perhapses and stuff from your email to make you more assertive.
I had to get that for a while.
Really?
Yeah, because my default is over-apologise, over-explain. So then I had to correct it by... And then went too far the other way where I was like, I don't owe anyone anything. And then was just really rude. So then I had to... Yeah, it's all about finding balance, isn't it? This is why I have to keep a mood diary.
As a woman, it's really important to, like, sometimes complain about shit. Like, complain about how society is treating you. Complain about the fact that you get paid less than your, like, male co-workers. Complain about the fact that you have toxic friends that treat you like shit. Like, these are all things that you should complain about, because internalising all of these emotions is actually super unhealthy. And there's a way to complain without being a fucking arsehole about it. Like, obviously never shout at somebody who's just doing their job. Like, don't be rude, don't swear, but... If someone's treated you like shit, whether it's like a company or your boss or like your coworker, like, you should raise it in a healthy way. I actually think that's a good thing to do.
Would you edit this advice then? Yours, explaining, no, complaining a little bit.
Yeah, I would say complain, but don't be a dick. Explain, but only if it's really necessary, and try not to apologise too much.
Right, never apologise, never explain. Sometimes explain.
Unless you bump into people all the time, like you seem to be doing.
Okay, so everyone breathe in and breathe out. In a moment, I'm going to get you three to decide which piece of advice is the worst, and then I will try and live by it and make it my life for the next week or so. But I just wanted to ask before, like, obviously there's a lot of these things going around, and obviously a lot of people feel like they need to live their life in some kind of undefined better way. Do you think that these kinds of, like, rules and tips and things can be helpful? Isn't it good to analyse your life a little bit more and see where you've been going wrong? Isn't it good to have some kind of, like, rules so that you don't just end up constantly apologising and complaining and, like, becoming this kind of, you know, nag or whatever? Isn't it good to start each day afresh without the arguments of yesterday? Like, aren't these things kind of useful?
Yes, but also no. I think... Yeah, but it's really impossible to live by any sort or apply any sort of absolute terms to any everything, because then you just, as like Sharon was saying, you just run up against conflict all the time and you just end up in conflict all the time. There's nuance within everything. If you just have to stop in the middle of an argument to write down in your mood journal that you're having an argument and that's making you feel terrible, then that's...
End the argument before both of you go to bed.
Yeah.
But then also not apologise for it.
Yeah. Imagine that life.
That's it, isn't it? That as soon as you apply these well-meaning ideas to your actual life, it all starts to crumble. And almost any bit of advice is quite easy to follow on a Monday, but extremely hard to follow on a hungover Sunday.
Yeah.
From going to the gym to not calling your exes back, it all sort of disintegrates after. So all of these things have to struggle in the real world. Let's do one last breath. If we just take a big deep breath in and a breath out. Okay, and then I'm just going to hand it over to you guys to decide which of these fantastic bits of life advice I'm going to have to make my own self-help routine.
I think the worst is probably mood diary.
I would love to see
because
you
I would
keep a mood
love
diary.
To see yeah, Sam I just keep a mood diary.
Okay, so you want me to keep a mood diary? Well, how long do I have to do it for?
I think you should do it over the bank holiday so you get the full arc of human emotions. So you're very, it probably will begin with you being very optimistic, and then by Monday you'll be a shell of a human.
That's good. I'm going away for a while, so I'm seeing a lot of friends. I think there'll be a lot of, you know, there'll be lots to talk about. I'll be going through a lot of moods. I'll be having to constantly interrupt like family lunches and stuff to go and get my mood diary out. Emma, how do I go about this? What's the key to doing a mood diary?
Well, as I mentioned, I rarely get past tearing the page in half and throwing it in the bin.
Right.
But I would say, first of all, get a completely new book. Like, don't, you know, write on scraps or, like, anything that you've got lying around before.
Go and buy it. Has to be fresh.
Yeah, go and buy a completely new thing, because then you'll just associate it with the thing that you use to do this very specific task, and it won't get... You won't end up writing down like phone numbers or like little doodles. Well, you'll probably doodle on it, won't you? Let's be fair. But that also means you get to go stationery shopping, which is the only good bit of
the mood diary. Yeah. It's keeping the stationery business in.
Do you know how many Muji pens I have because of this thing? Just so much stationery.
And then do you put like happy faces, sad faces?
Try to express the mood in however a way that, like, in a way that you can identify it. I remember reading this book where the author had just really, really bad depression, and to like sort of track it, she would put dots. So the worse it was, the more dots she would sort of add to a line. And that was sort of a way of doing it without necessarily using words. But I think for this, you should use words, because it's more fun to review words than dots, isn't it?
And this is like you say, this is advice that is often given out at therapy and counselling, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So how do you think I'm going to do it? My mood diary?
I think you're going to do terribly.
Why? I've got so many moods.
I just...
Happy, less than happy, very happy.
I actually think this could be quite interesting for you, like, as a man, because I don't think men are taught to be very self-reflective at all about the way they think or feel. So maybe by the end of it, you're just going to look at all your thoughts and be like, oh my God, I'm shook. I had no idea I was this kind of person. But it's clear to me now that I'm a deep thinker, or conversely, not a very deep thinker.
I think with a lot of people, they're taught, like, the point is to sort of like under-explain what's going on. So you just get a sort of vague idea, and then from that you can judge what you've been doing or how you've been feeling at the time. But I think in this case, it might be more beneficial to sort of take a very basic mood and try and unpack it some more.
Okay, so Sam has now left the room, and we can talk freely amongst us women now. Emma, how do you think Sam's going to do with this challenge?
I think he's going to fuck it. Having known and worked with Sam for many, many years, he'll give up. He won't finish it. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I agree with this. Also, it's the bank holiday, so he's probably going to be getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to give a shit about this? I wonder if he'll, like, retrospectively try to fake it, though. And, like, write down this shit.
He is definitely a retrospective faker kind of person, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
He's definitely going to write some, like, random shit in and try and pass it off. Also, I kind of wonder whether Sam has that many moods. He always kind of just seems the same.
Like a simple organism.
Yeah.
I think this about... I'm going to be an enormous... man-hater now, but I feel like that about most men, though. They have, like, one mood, and that's just it. They're either, like, more that or a bit less that, but it's just the same.
I feel okay. I still feel okay.
I genuinely think that, like, it's true, men only have, like, what, maybe 5 moods maximum.
And then, like a rainbow, just like...
Yeah, and then when they feel something really intensely and deeply, then everything, like, completely falls apart, and that it's, like, the end of the world. Like, you read, like, I don't know, like... literature and books and like whatever, and it's like these men are like, I've just been dumped, oh God, let me write the Odyssey or something. It's just like dude, chill out, she just wasn't that into you.
Yeah, I feel like all the men that I know have like fine, lust and anger, and I feel like those are the 3 emotions. Like fine, lust, anger, that's it.
And I think, like, maybe one day out of the year they feel slightly vulnerable, but they don't really know what to do with it.
Yes. Anger or lust.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, regardless of whether or not he can actually pull it off, it is just a fucking terrible piece of advice anyway. And, like, speaking as someone who also has never pulled it off, despite trying several times, it's not a very good piece of advice. It's just a waste of time.
My conspiracy theory is that it was actually started by the stationery industry.
I was just about to say that. I think that's true as well.
To like make people buy stationery, like nice notebooks and pens and things like that. I mean, it makes sense because print's dying. Mm. They've got to make up the profit somehow.
Sam Wolfson's mood diary, day one.
It's a beautiful day and I feel upbeat and I realise there's things that I was supposed to do yesterday that I haven't done, but I'm just not concerned about them. But I guess we'll see throughout the weekend whether that comes back to haunt me. Can't really see the point in recording that I'm fine, but you know, who knows, maybe at the end of this it will all make sense.
Sam Wolfson's mood diary, day two.
So I've just been out and about in central London, basically on a snack tour, and snacks make me extremely happy, so I would say I'm in a very good mood.
Sam Wolfson's mood diary, day three.
I'm not feeling good, to be honest, considering previous attempts. It's just I'm going away for a long time tomorrow, and I think it's quite tough.
Sam Wolfson's mood diary, bonus edition.
Yeah, I mean, similarly to my last entry, feel not great, and I can really sympathise with Emma Garland. Yeah, sorry to end on a dour note, but thumbs down, and also thumbs down to mood diaries. That's it. Thank you very much to our contestants, Zing, Emma and Shirin. Emma, I can kind of sympathise with what it's like to keep a mood diary now. Yeah, but it's not as simple as that. It was produced by Sam Bonham from Rethink Audio. We'll be back next week. We've got all the old episodes on iTunes. You can listen and breathe in. Breathe out. My name is Sam Wolfson. We'll see you next time.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.